Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on the next generation of KGO 810.
Away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay, and as the sun sets, broadcasting live all over the western United States and Canada. Thank you for joining us, and you can also join us on the KGO app. KGO app is now available for all tablets and iPads for free, of course, along with your smartphones, and we will KGO go wherever you go. So this is interesting stuff. We welcome Tim Sika. Tim Sika, welcome to the party.
Thank you, Drex. I like what you said, that we'll KGO wherever you go. I like that.
I've always got something clever in the back of my brain somewhere. I just have to find it. I want to start with James Cameron criticizing The Force Awakens. And by the way, I want to say this. You know, if you didn't know, it surpassed, I'm sure Tim knows, but The Force Awakens surpassed Avatar and Titanic in the box office record books. And now the director of those movies, James Cameron, might be throwing a little bit of shade. Listen to this.
I have to say that I felt that George's group of six films had more innovative visual imagination. This film was more of a retrenchment to things you had seen before and characters you had seen before, and it took a few baby steps forward with new characters. So for me, the jury's out. I want to see where they go with it.
Wow, I think that's more than a little bit of shade. Maybe he's bitter.
I don't know. I kind of agree with him, actually. And you know, it's amazing what you can say, because to me that just sounds like something he just happened to say, and it just got all this traction on social media. I don't think it warrants it.
Well, don't you? I mean, it's speaking out of turn. If I were J.J. Abrams, well, and you know, the people who love The Force, don't mess with it.
But you know what? I had heard all about this controversy, right? I mean, people were telling me, oh, did you hear what James Cameron said and blah, blah, blah. And then when I finally went on YouTube and I heard it, I thought, well, really, seriously, my reaction was like, well, what's the big deal, really? I mean, what's the big deal? He was just, I didn't think it was that controversial. And I kind of agree with him in that this new one was just kind of a rehash. It was a good rehash. It was a quality rehash. It had to kind of be a rehash of all those other Star
Sure.
Wars movies. But, you know, compared to the other ones, you know, it stood out in that way. And I don't know. Do you think he meant to be critical? I don't know.
I hope not, because there's a very fine line, and it's kind of backstabby-ish. It feels backstabby-ish.
Right.
Yes.
I guess.
Right. But, you know, if he did mean to throw shade, it's kind of nasty. All right. Well, let's start with Tarzan. And I think we have let's play the clip from Tarzan.
Okay.
All right, we'll take a listen to this.
My husband is no normal man.
No matter. He's Tarzan. If you're Jane, he'll come for you.
I guess there's a lot of swinging going on there.
Yeah. I love that line. She says, my husband is no normal man. No husband has Photoshop abs the way Alexander Skarsgård has in this movie. I'm telling you, I don't know anybody who has abs like that. But just
Tarzan.
What we need, right? Another Tarzan movie.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, we got one here in The Legend of Tarzan. It stars True Bloods, as I said, Alexander Skarsgård. And yeah. It's the late 1880s, and it's been a while, I guess, since this guy who was once known as Tarzan left the jungles of Africa, where, of course, he was raised by the great apes, right? Mm-hmm. And which we all get to see in a number of flashbacks. And yeah, Tarzan's left the jungles of Africa behind for this aristocratic life in Victorian London as John Clayton. What was he? The third Viscount Greystoke, with his wife Jane Porter at his side. And as this new Tarzan begins, he's been somewhat sort of ceremoniously invited back to the Congo Free State to serve as this trade emissary for the House of Commons, but he's unaware that he's this pawn in this game of greed and revenge. I don't know. I can't remember what the tagline was. Oh, deadly convergence of greed and revenge, and which is masterminded by this corrupt Belgian played by Christoph Waltz, and only that way that Christoph Waltz, who won 2 Oscars for playing evil in Quentin Tarantino movies, can play evil and corrupt. Anyway, the one promising thing that this had going for it when it was announced that it was finally going to be filmed, because it was supposed to have gotten off the ground like 10 years ago, but for various reasons it kept stalling, was that David Yates, who did 4 of the Harry Potter movies, was going to direct it. But, you know, despite the dramatic opening, some of the photography, some pretty rad fight sequences between Tarzan and his ape family. There's a lot of dysfunction going on in the ape family and a lot of jealousy, but by the male apes with Tarzan. The casting and all that glistening kind of 21st century technical stuff that this movie boasts, it's a kind of a snorer, you know? And my big gripe with it is that it was more a story about this corrupt Belgian guy and his obsession with diamonds and greed and the enslavement of a people than it was a Tarzan movie. The Tarzan stuff, his origins and all that, just seemed to be added as an afterthought. In fact, this seemed one of the least like Edgar Rice Burroughs' Tarzans that I've ever seen, and I think I've seen most of them.
Is it animated?
What's that?
Is it animated?
Well, you know, the apes are CGI,
right,
and the
I
animals
know, right.
are CGI, but and all the swinging of the vines and stuff is CGI. But no, there's a good cast. Speaking of Tarantino, earlier Samuel Jackson is in this for comic relief, although you'd never know by watching the trailer. He's invisible in the trailer. It's almost like they didn't want you to know, or he didn't want anybody to know he was in this. I don't know. I know I'm going off here, but it's just disposable. Unlike, say, I know this is an extreme example, but I want to do a quick plug here if I can. The films of Stanley Kubrick, if I can plug just for a second, the Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco on Mission Street is beginning today, running through October 30th, the Stanley Kubrick exhibition. And I mean, talk about polar opposite film approaches, results, and aims. It's just when I was there yesterday for the press opening, I again was struck by the aesthetic and the entertainment permanence of the kind of brilliant artworks that Kubrick made with the kinds of movies being made today.
Remind
you of the impermanence of the kinds of movies that are being made today, like this well-intentioned Legend of Tarzan. So what am I saying? Skip Legend of Tarzan, go see the Stanley Kubrick exhibition at the Jewish Museum.
And by the way,
it looks like it might even be cheaper than buying a ticket for Tarzan to go to the exhibit.
We need more Tarzan like we need more Peter Pan, really.
That's a pull quote, Drex.
There you go. You can use that quote. We need more Tarzan like we need more Pan.
We need more Peter Pan.
Right. Yeah. Okay. By the way, Kubrick, the films, well, of course, The Shining and?
The Shining and Clockwork Orange in 2001.
That's it.
And Eyes Wide Shut and Full Metal Jacket and Barry Lyndon and, all those movies. I was at the exhibition, and it's amazing. I think it's only the 15th or 16th time it's been exhibited. It began in Germany, and it's just I think I wrote on my Facebook page that it's like being in hog heaven if you're a film fan, because it's got things like the Star Child model and the ape suits from 2001 and the maze, the Shining maze, the one that Jack Nicholson looks down on.
Oh, really? That's amazing. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
Oh, you've got to go. It's going to be there for 4 months, so there's plenty of time to check it out.
That's fantastic. You'll love this story. So it's hard to imagine how Hollywood is going to turn the game Tetris into a movie, but apparently the plot isn't the problem. Have you heard this? Producers? They have so much work that they're turning it into, it's even hard to, I can't even get it out of my mouth, a trilogy. They have too much material, so they think it's like freaking Lord of the Rings or something.
Oh, jeez. That's another thing that these filmmakers keep doing. They stretch everything out. They stretch everything out, and it's got to be for purposes of making the most money they possibly can.
Too much Tetris.
I don't know what to say about that.
Not
I mean,
much.
There's not much to say, right?
Oy vey works. Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about Zappa and Swiss Army and that sausage party movie that showed at the Concord movie theater before the opening of Finding Dory, which is Finding Dory is just blowing all the other films away. We'll be right back on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham. Summer's here, and summertime always means big movies. And next, we're going to talk about with Tim Sica, the president of the San Francisco Film Critics Circle. Zappa, Frank Zappa, one of my favorite guys. Holy Hot Rats and Muffin Man and Bongo Furry. It's somewhat of a documentary, right?
Yeah, documentary. I know how much you love a good documentary, Drex, and I think you're really going to like this. This is what the title says. It's Frank Zappa in his own words. It's all archival footage of consisting most just of interviews and video footage of Zappa talking about himself and his music, and it's a fascinating film.
I do think we have a clip of it, Tim. Let's take a listen to it.
Frank Zappa, the maestro of rock music. What do you think about this title?
Seems pretty reasonable to me.
He's skinny in appearance. Between the flashing eyes, the hooked nose, the stooping mustache, the black hair is stiffly knotted backwards.
Sounds like a pretty good-looking guy to me. I make music because it's the same as going to the toilet. So if I'm still going to the toilet when I'm 60 or 70, I'll still be making music.
Well, and he was going to the toilet until 1993. I mean, really, I think of him as pretty much a rock journalist in some ways.
Yeah, he was. And as a public figure and popular composer and artist, he was controversial. He was uncompromising. He was iconoclastic. He rallied against the norms. You know, he was commercially successful, which you wouldn't think given his outsider emphasis in pretty much everything he did. He always seemed to be able to out-argue any of his intellectual enemies, hence the title, Eat That Question. You know, he regarded interviewers and interviews as a rule as just like, you know, experiencing the Inquisition. But he was a vociferous critic of mainstream education, organized religion. He was passionate about freedom of speech, you know, political participation and the abolition of censorship. So this movie presents him, in his own words, as this fascinating, influential figure, an artist whose goal as a composer was, as I think he said this in the movie, was to free the listener from conformity. And when you hear his music, and you do hear his music in the movie, you really get a strong sense of you know, of what that was. Very, very interesting movie. It's 90 minutes that flies by. If anything, I wish it were longer because it seemed to fly by so fast. But it's packed. It's fascinating. It's interesting. You know, and it's all here in his own words. Frank Zappa.
Wow.
Terrific documentary.
Yeah, I love that line that he used to throw out there, communism doesn't work because we like to own stuff, man. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a great line.
You know, he was a lot smarter than I think people gave him credit for, just as an example of what you said. Cut to the chase, right?
Got he always did. And I think, you know, mainstream America remembers him for Valley Girl, and that's just not Frank Zappa.
No, and he kind of knew that, but, you know, he made a lot of money on that song.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Good for him. All right. We're going to talk about Swiss Army next, and here is a clip from the movie Swiss Army.
You know, I had always hoped right before I died, my life would flash before my eyes, and I would see wonderful things. But as I was hanging up there, I didn't really see much of anything. But I did see you.
This is crazy.
I thought you were dead.
Am I dead?
I don't think so. You're talking.
Hi.
You're special.
I'm special.
You're like the multi-purpose tool guy.
And that's why I need you to help me get home.
Okay.
Based on that, I think it's a safe bet to say this, and that there has never really ever been a film quite like Swiss Army Man. In fact, I think it's safe to say that most people listening have probably never seen anything like this before. Basically, real quick here, there's this guy named Hank, who's played by Paul Dano, and he's at the end of his rope. Literally, he's just about to hang himself. He's been stranded on this desert island somewhere in the Pacific, and just as he's about to kick the bucket, a body washes up on shore. He's obviously dead. It's played by Daniel Radcliffe, but he decides, after having made contact with this corpse, that he's not going to do himself thin after all. He starts to bond with the corpse and strangely finds newfound comfort with this dead body that he's named Manny. And that's this movie in a nutshell, but it barely describes the actual experience of watching this weird movie.
Is it an art house film or is it a major?
It played Sundance. In fact, the guys that directed it, two guys, Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, they're video and short film directors, they won the director's prize at this year's Sundance Festival for this movie. I guess the easiest way to describe it is that it's a buddy movie. But it's weird, and it's strange, it's never predictable, and it boasts what appears to be this honest-to-God mad scientist's obsession with bodily functions like flatulence, erections, excrement, bodily fluids, vomiting, masturbation, transvestism. Well, that's not a bodily function, but Paul Dano does spend a good portion of this film in drag. Here's an example. How do you describe a movie that, well, just before the main title comes on, Paul Dano notices that the dead body that's washed ashore is starting to, becoming windy, as the British say. Well, he farts. And this dead body emits this machine gun volley of flatulence, which then prompts Dano to mount Radcliffe, and then, propelled by the flatulence, to ride him across the ocean like a jet ski.
Wow, that's...
And from there, it gets weirder. That's just
that's quite
the
a plot. Right,
on.
Okay.
Well. Okay, so that's... I mean, is it a good movie? I don't know, but I intend to find out. Who would you recommend it to? And I would say, if the idea of a suicidal guy befriending a flatulent corpse prone to regular erections lights you up, then you have to check out Swiss Army Man. And decide for yourself. It's bizarre. It's just bizarre. A lot of the stuff that I was uncomfortable with was all the body stuff. But when I got past that, this is what was weird about it. I found the movie to be kind of unique, very one of a kind movie. And there was a lot in here about loneliness and love and friendship, and I think shame, being the thing that can get in our way of deep friendships and lasting love relationships. It's strangely poignant and sad and touching. If you can get past all that stuff, I was just, harping on.
Sounds really bizarre to me.
It is. And Dan Radcliffe, how do you play a dead, flatulent corpse? He does. He does brilliantly, and he actually makes you feel for this character. It's unbelievable. I don't even know how to talk about this movie. I don't have any words in my lexicon to describe. This is an experiential movie. I would say for people, what I just said sounds interesting, that they should go and check it out and decide for themselves.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tim Sica. You have a great holiday weekend, and we will talk to you in a week.
Okay, Drex, thanks again.
Thank you, sir.
You have a good rest of the week, too.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Tough Love, The Boy in the Tent, with flatulence and erections and masturbation, I bet. Well, of course. You would hope so. All right, we'll be back on the Drex Radio Show. Don't go away. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee. Well, maybe.
Celebrate this 4th of July in the emergency room at your local hospital. First, go buy a bunch of fireworks. Next, drink way too much beer. Then let everybody know at your get-together that you know what you're doing. And finally, light the fuse and hold the firecrackers in your hand for just a little too long. You'll not only ruin the 4th for everyone, you might just lose a finger or two. And teach your kids the importance of moderation. Have a happy 4th of July. This message brought to you by Don't Be a Dumbass.
Yeah, don't be a dumbass. Oh, Don, I done did blow my hand off. Damn.
You know, Drex, I have a story to share. When I was home a couple of months ago in Maine, my brother is a total redneck. He, like, drives around in his four-wheeler. He has guns. We were shooting guns in his backyard. We were lighting off fireworks, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He had fireworks that he was shooting out of a slingshot.
Oh,
and
nice.
He was lighting them with his cigarette butt and then firing them off into the air with his slingshot.
There goes the face.
And I'm like, I just look over at my four-year-old niece, and I'm like, please don't shoot it anywhere near her ever. Like, that is the most insane thing ever. My brother.
Daddy just lost his face.
I can see him ending up like that guy, though.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Daddy just done did lost his face. All right. Well, then.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Now we're going to get me going to drinking. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. All right. Let's go to New Mexico, everybody, just because. So two New Mexico parents are New Drexico parents are teaching their teenage son a lesson by having him live in a tent. And pitches a 10 in the 10. Well, he has bad behavior, and that begins
with Daniel Radcliffe.
Right. I can't get by that. I don't know. that Swiss Army movie. I don't know. Yeah. The parents banned him from using electronic devices of any kind, but he took his sister's tablet and iPod.
Bad boy.
Bad boy. So his father called the New Mexico Children, Youth, and Families Department to ask, I love this, to ask if he could punish his son by putting him outside in a tent. And they said nothing. You are depriving him of anything, and we're not, except maybe air conditioning. All right, so they did. So here's the story. Let me pull this back and play this. This is from, I don't know, it's this from Nevada?
New Mexico.
New Mexico television station. All right, here we go.
He's getting the luxuries of his life taken away because he doesn't want to obey the rules.
There is definitely nothing luxurious about living outside in a tent during the summer here in New Mexico. So what did a Belen teen do to deserve that punishment? Mom tells us it started with bad grades. They banned him from electronic devices of all kinds, and then he took his sister's tablet and iPod. So Dad had an idea. He called CYFD to ask, what if we punish our son by sending him outside?
And they said nothing. You are not depriving him of anything, and we're not, except for maybe air conditioning.
Some have told the Bogus family on social media this is cruel, especially with it being so hot outside.
Yep.
Mom tells us they've tried everything else, including counseling. So it came to this. She says he can come inside to get water, use the restroom, eat, and shower, but he has to get permission.
He has to knock on our door, just like a visitor would, because he disrespected our home and he disrespected our rules. And like we told him, here it's disrespect. And out there, it's a felony. And you go to prison.
Okay, 8080810. So, justifiable or mean, super mean? It's like that penis said, that Sheriff Arpaio that I hate so much. Yeah, let's put him in pink panties and put him in tents. Yeah.
And feed him vegan meals.
Right, exactly. So, justifiable in the 120-degree sun, or is it cruel and mean and unusual? A lot of people on social media blowing up saying, you know, you're out of hand, you're out of order. The sun, you know, you could do your son harm, you could become dehydrated, and yeah, you have heat stroke, and yickety-yack that.
Yeah, but they're letting him in to get water and to go to the bathroom.
Right. And by the way, what is the worst thing that your parents ever did to you, punishment-wise, for your felonious misdemeanor behavior?
I can't even remember. My parents were mostly nice, I think.
415 is the area code, 808-0810.
How about yours?
Well, I got away with a lot of stuff. I was very, very sneaky. I don't know. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd get my ass beat. But
do you think you were really sneaky, or do you just you know is that in your head? You know what I mean? Like so kids think that they're really sneaky, but really their parents know what they're up to.
No parent would like let their child get away with some of the things that I've done. Yeah,
I definitely got a metal spoon across my butt a few times.
A metal spoon.
Yeah.
I never heard of the spoon thing. What's that about?
It's, you know, like one of those metal spoons that you stir spaghetti with or whatever.
Ooh, yeah.
So I got that a couple of times in the wooden one, too. But, you know, not often.
Now,
certainly.
How old were you? Because it got to a point when my mom would paddle me that it became more of a joke when I was around 12 or 13, I'm like, oh, ouch, ouch, ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is like right around that same age, like probably 10 or 11. Like, I would laugh when they spanked me with their hand and they were like, okay, we'll show you.
Yeah, dad busted out the belt. But when I was a kid, 6, 7, I mean, the worst part was dad didn't come home till 6 or 7, so go stay in your room and wait.
Well, yeah, and then it's scary because you're thinking about it in your mind for hours.
Right, right. So you put the kid in the hot sun, the New Mexico sun, 120 degrees, let him live out there for a while. Well, I guess he's sucking it up.
Lots of kids go camping for the summer, I mean. Come on.
The kid had really bad
acting.
And
if he can find a device, he could probably still attach himself to the Wi-Fi.
Well, no. No, he's not allowed to have that. He stole that, remember? 808-0810 is the number. But he has really bad acne. I felt for the guy because he's all over social media. I'm thinking, well, maybe the dry heat will clear that up. That might be an upside. Just saying. All right. So, you know, there are different ways to go about things. But don't you just love? I mean, and then I don't know why they called to get permission. But then, of course, the busybody started calling the police. And they wanted an investigation and all of this, that, and the other. Because when this stuff blows up on social media, it's out there. Look, we're talking about it here in San Francisco. I'm doing it. So you know that people are doing it all across America. All the talk show hosts. I mean, it's go-to fodder. Why not? Yeah, so why not? 808-0810 is the number. All right, we're going to take some calls. Here we go. We'll start with Anthony. Anthony, good evening. You're on KGO. Hi, Anthony.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you want to say? What's your thing? Well, Anthony, it's your turn, or we're going to put you in a tent. Go ahead.
Okay. My mother used to hit me when my mother worked and my father worked. Right? As soon as she came home, she smacked me in the back of the head, and she said, "You know, right? I always did something, and I always thought there was a lot of spies around the area where I lived. I lived in the Bronx." On 187th Street. So, and my mom used to hit me with a hand. Sometimes she'd get mad. I deserve everything I got.
Smack you upside the back of your head.
Yeah, she used to hit me in the back of my head. It says, you know. So she came from work, she didn't say one word to me, and she just smacked me across the back of the head. It says, you know. And I always did something wrong because I was pretty, you know, we lived in a rough neighborhood, and we always got in trouble.
Well, where was Dad? Was there no Dad?
No, there was my father. My father worked too, but my mother was the one that
she was the disciplinarian.
The punishment.
Right. Okay. Why? Dad didn't want to hit you?
No, he comes after me sometimes. You know, he used to use a broomstick.
Oh, well, that's a good.
See, the apartment I lived in, you could run around the whole apartment. Like they had a living room, bedroom, and another bedroom, and I used to run around in a circle, and my father couldn't catch me.
Okay, all right, and around you go, and then we smack you upside the head. Okay, all right, that's enough of that. Okay, so just because I can, and just because somebody did, some girl in Japan tweeted a video of a harmonica being vacuumed, and you're gonna wish you thought of it first. So. Here we go. Welcome, America. We'll be back with more of the Drex Radio Show. First, with a look at traffic. Leak
on KGO 810.
Oh, my goodness. I heard that rehab commercial in the middle of the stop set there, and I thought, wow, we got to talk about Johnny Manziel, Mr. Football, because he's going sober tomorrow. Good luck with that, Johnny Football. And also start eating right. He's going to work out because he still thinks he can make it in the NFL. He's been partying all week at a rented house in Cabo in Mexico. And I don't know. He's down there with 20 other people. And there was this tweet sent out of the house with these baggies that looked like it was either cocaine or crystal meth or something. I don't know, man. But it looked bad. And he's saying, it's not mine. Or, you know, the house is filled with 20 people. So they kept reposting this on TMZ, the suspicious white powder or chunks, whatever the hell it was. And he's going completely sober tomorrow. Now, I don't know if you follow this story, but Johnny's own father has called him a druggie and said that he needs help. On Tuesday, Johnny responded by posting a picture of himself living it up in Mexico, and he used the hashtag Hi Dad. But the story is he's saying he's going sober tomorrow, starting the first. So good luck to him.
Yeah, I don't think going sober, the best way to start that voyage is to, you know, be around drugs, like lots of drugs in a party city.
I think the guy has to, and he's 21, right?
He's still super young, and he can turn things around, but I was just talking with Karen. The trajectory that he's headed in, there's just no way.
Yeah, so the NFL is saying, you know, because he wants to get back in the NFL, saying, and the NFL, all of these teams that he's talking to, you know, the odds are zero to none. Nobody will touch him. Now, I don't know about that, but when you're that young, I think that everybody gets another chance. So in some ways, I wish that, you know, the media and everybody would back off this dude, give him a chance. But
he's kind of brought it on himself, to be honest. I mean, he's just so out there and outrageous and brash. And even his college football career was flashy, and that's why they called him Johnny Football, right?
Right, right.
So even if he does change the leaf and flip his career and make it in a more positive direction, he's going to have to be a kind of a different person.
And he already has been suspended for 4 games for substance abuse, and that violation came down today. So even if he were to play for another team, the first 4 games would be suspended.
He's a backup anyway.
Yeah. By the way, he's 23. He's from Tyler, Texas. And, you know, did he play for the Browns? Is that the story? I mean, I really didn't know the whole ruckus around Johnny Football.
Yeah, he was drafted, I think, number one overall by the Browns. And, you know, just one of a plethora of quarterbacks who got drafted number one by the Browns who have just been horrible in the NFL. So they recently released him.
And let me see. I do have some cuts here. Cleveland Brown fan cries about Johnny Manziel not positively representing the team.
First of all, I've been a Browns fan all of my life. That means you are the elite. You're no jerk. You don't go out with prostitutes. You don't go drinking in bars. You don't act like a jerk. And that's what this guy is. He's not a Brown. He never will be a Brown. This is my team. I'm not going to have a moron come in there, some drunken bum who thinks he knows it all, doesn't bother reading the playbook.
Well, let's turn that Brown and that frown upside down.
Well, he's no longer a Brown, so
no.
Good for. I wish people would call us and cry more often. We'll be your shoulder to lean on.
Because of the girl with the vacuums of harmonica, just because she could. You're just jealous because you didn't think of it first. It's got like 500,000 retweets.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
dude, it's amazing. It's the stupidest damn thing. And it always is the stupidest damn thing. So good for Johnny Manziel, and I hope that works
out. What can we vacuum to get that many retweets? I'm going to vacuum this microphone.
Go ahead. Let's give that a try. I'm willing to do that.
The cleaning people will be in here. We'll have to ask them.
Hey, we were talking about the kid. That was so funny. My mom slapped me upside my head, that last caller. And we were talking about the kid who has to sit in the desert till he figures his life out for stealing his sister's iPad and iPod. So I love this story. 48-year-old guy named Baron Brooks in Salt Lake City, Utah, was featured in a full-page ad in the newspaper in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, whatever that is. I didn't know they had a French town there. Anyway, the ad was focused on getting him a wife. So Baron has never been married, and the ad is looking for a woman who is, quote, ready, willing, and able to have children as soon as possible. Attractive, being height and weight proportional, and politically conservative. Well, it is Utah, y'all. It also mentions that I'm 5'5", and if you're 5'8" and you like to wear heels, it might not work. But Baron did not take out the ad. He didn't even know it existed. His 78-year-old dad, Arthur Brooks, took out the ad. It cost him $900. Apparently, he picked a newspaper in Idaho. In Idaho, because he thought it would be a good place to find conservatives. I mean, this guy is humiliated, and this is like the kid story. You know, people like me pick this stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about it. His son is furious. He said, I cannot even begin to describe how embarrassing and ridiculous this is. But But it actually did drum up some interest from some women. So he's letting his dad go ahead with some interviews.
Wow. Well, you know, if it works out and he gets a new ma.
Oh, my.
Whatever.
So two NASCAR drivers got into a fight over the weekend. And afterward, Fox Sports got WWE announcer Jim Ross to call the fight as if it were a wrestling match. So this happened at the Truck Series, the NECAR Truck Series in Illinois. And the fight was between John Wes Townley and Spencer Gallagher. And so here is Jim Ross calling the NASCAR fight. I love
certainly that. High drama, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Gateway Motorsports Park. This is a very volatile situation indeed because Townley's smirking. This could be a very dangerous situation for these two men. John Wes Townley, who loves that Zaxby's chicken, and who doesn't, getting out of his car, unfolding here. Spencer Gallagher is obviously irate. Turn the children away. It's not going to get pretty here. What the hell is this? There's a takedown on the concrete. They're rolling around like two old women. My God. It's like two trust fund babies. John Wesley Townley with a seat roll. Now he's got a front face lock. What's he doing here? Oh, my God. My God, it's a DDT, ladies and gentlemen. The DDT scores on the pavement. Let him go. He's got a family, for God's sakes. And they love chicken. My God, it's a sour knocker. The Zaxby people are good people. The chicken man is trying to get a chicken wing on his opponent. Let me tell you one thing. You want to talk about toughness? You know who's tough out there? The damn concrete. Not those two yahoos. They're grasping each other like they're going to the senior prom. My God.
All right, y'all. We got to take a break, and then we'll be back for the Late Night Late Show wrap-up on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.